2BACR.
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 100.9. This.
Another Monday night. It means Business Advisor Community Radio. None of our business and all of yours. 100.9 FM. Good afternoon, Robin.
Good evening, Peter. How are you tonight?
It is an evening. It's 7 o'clock on Monday night.
7 o'clock on Monday night means everyone gets to listen to you and I.
Correct. Business Advisor Community Radio on Bankstown Auburn Community Radio. It's where we are supporting businesses in our local Bankstown and Auburn communities, doing by way of management consulting, business advice, whatever is relevant to the various amount of businesses that are around in this southwest kind of area. We're here for an hour, and we're live to community radio if you're listening via digital radio or the old analog radio on 100.9 FM. But we're also able to listen to it throughout the week. Is that right, Robin?
You can. You can listen to us via podcast.
Yes.
And you can get that now either from our Facebook page.
Yep.
Which is Business Advisory Community Radio, BACR. Or you can find us on the iTunes store.
Yeah, just type in BACR and that'll be enough. You will find us there, the picture of the little microphone, and subscribe, and then you don't have to remember it. It just uploads each week. Simple as that. Speaking of simple,
what's on tonight's show?
Hey, nothing simple. And well, perhaps let's try and make it simple. Something called performance management. Performance management.
That old chestnut.
Yes. So what are we talking about when we... Well, firstly, sorry, no, I'm not used to this new segment. Let me break into a new segment just before we talk about performance management. Something to warm us up. Lubricate the eardrums, as they say. I don't know who says it, but that's what they say. It's time for joke of the week, Robin. It was so popular last week that I'm bringing it back and bringing it back hard. Are you ready? I'm going to tell you my joke.
I'm not sure I'm ever ready for your jokes, Pete.
Go for it. It's a bit of a longer one as well, so you know how much I like to hear the sound of my own voice. Well, I'm going to hear it for a little bit. A man in a hot air balloon realized he was lost. He reduced altitude and spotted a woman below. He descended a little more and shouted, "Excuse me, can you help me? I promised a friend I'd meet him an hour ago, and I don't know where I am." The woman replied, "You're in a hot air balloon hovering approximately 30 meters above the ground. You're between 40 and 41 degrees north latitude and between 59 and 60 degrees west latitude." "You must be an engineer," said the balloonist. "I am," replied the woman. "How did you know that?" "Well," answered the balloonist, "everything you told me is technically correct, but I've no idea what to make of that information, and the fact is I'm still lost. Frankly, you've been no help at all, and if anything, you've delayed my trip." The woman below responded, "You must be in management." "I am," replied the balloonist, "but how did you know?" "Well," said the woman, "you don't know where you are or where you're going. You have risen to where you are due to a large quantity of hot air. You've made a promise which you've got no idea on how you're going to keep it, and you expect people beneath you to solve your problems. The fact that you're in the exact same position as where you were before you met me, but now, somehow it's all my fault." That was a dig on management.
I'm in management, Pete.
Yeah, so am I. But, you know, you've got to take a light-hearted approach. You know, this is what people think sometimes. Engineers, most likely. So now we've got the joke of the week out of the way.
Yeah. Out of the way.
You know how to get in touch with us in the studio. Give us a call live, by the way. You can do that if you're listening 7 o'clock on Monday night.
02-9793-109. And if you're not listening live or you're not near a phone, get in contact with us via Facebook. Business Advisory Community Radio, BACR. Send us a message or post on the page.
Too easy. Down to business. None of our business and all of yours. Performance management. Managing the performance of your people. I'm going to ask a broad sweeping statement, as I'm very good at doing. Is it relevant, Robin, to all businesses.
Do you want what I think, or do you want what I think everybody else thinks?
Tell me firstly what everyone else thinks.
No, it's only stuff that you do in a big business where you've got lots of people to manage, probably in an office.
Okay. What do you think? Short answer.
Yes. Okay. What was the question again?
Is performance management relevant to everyone?
Yes.
Yes. Well, all businesses.
Yes.
I thought I'd get out there and I'd find out what the word on the street is about performance management, what people think.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't actually take a recording device. Afterwards, I realised that probably would have been a good idea. But I did ask one person, Shirley in Bankstown, about how she manages her staff. And she said, "We only have a handful of staff here. Everyone that works here knows each other. Most of them are actually family. If someone does a good job, I tell them. And if someone does a bad job, I tell them as well. I don't even know whether a formal performance management or appraisal system would be relevant to us." So I
think what did you say to Shirley?
I said, "What do you reckon about performance management?" In probably a longer way, about introducing myself and what the show is.
But did you comment on what she said?
No, I said, "Thank you, we'll comment on the show."
Okay.
So hopefully she's listening.
I do hope you're listening, Shirley. Because I understand that there are certain nuances in running a family business. And there's certain expectations of what each person contributes. There's a vested interest, some may say. Some may disagree if you're in a family business, in the business succeeding and doing well. However, those unspoken expectations is usually where you see, you know, a downward spiral into a family argument. Because the expectations that you have in your head are not necessarily the expectations that they're receiving.
Oh, like if your son was working in the, I don't know, fruit and vegetable stall that you work in. And you just expect that any of the schlepping jobs are done by him, and something's not done, and then you automatically blame the son for the fact it's not done. But maybe he didn't know.
Correct.
Maybe he didn't know his job.
Maybe he wasn't aware of the standard with which to do it, that the bananas needed to be packed 12 across and two less all the way up to make a pyramid.
I guess then for performance management, to think about it, there are three main purposes of performance management. One is strategic alignment.
Making sure that the top line and the bottom line in the business are all speaking the same language with the same goal and intent.
Yes. There's the second purpose of performance management is developmental.
So helping somebody improve and move from the bottom step in the chain to the top.
And recognizing weaknesses and ways to overcome them.
Yeah.
And the third is administrative.
All that paperwork. I think that is what most people dislike about performance management. People see performance management as paperwork. You've got to write everything down. You've got to record it. You've got to be able to reference it.
Yeah.
It can be a lot of work. I think there's different degrees and formality in how you can approach performance management so that it meets your needs and suits your business and works with your culture.
Yeah, I think that, for example, the $2 shop that maybe is a startup, you know, all they do from 6 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night is run, you know, the customer-facing stuff. And paying bills and everything. When do they get time to write up a performance appraisal for, you know, the casual that works 2 or 3 days a week on the front counter?
Yeah, I mean, if that is your business and you don't have a lot of time to spend on preparing performance management plans and, you know, like that, I think that is big business. You know, that's a reasonably large organization that has that type of setup. But managing performance is really as simple as setting expectations and checking back in on progress.
I think that's a nice way to water it down, really.
Yeah. So if you've got a business, say, you know, Shirley in Bankstown and her business, I'm not sure if we know exactly what it was, but if at the start of the day you have a huddle, start of the day, say, this is what we're working towards. We have this much stock that we need to shift. This is what we're working on today. Set clear expectations. Make sure everyone knows what it is that they're doing, what's expected of them, and how they can best meet that objective. And then at the end of the day, huddle back in. How did you go? Did you meet it? What stopped you? Why couldn't we sell that? You know, that it's an opportunity to get feedback.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I think that that last component of closing the loop, getting the feedback from someone is critical. Like that, it's the one of the linchpins of performance management, because performance management isn't telling someone that they've done a bad job or that, you know, they're not good enough and they better shape up. That's just telling someone that they need to shape up, and that's probably a bit short-sighted in saying that. Performance management is about that two-way street, that identifying what you need to work on, or what that person needs to work on, and going through that journey together throughout the year.
So if we were to take widgets, are your one of your favorite things,
selling widgets,
to move,
yep,
and we need to transfer stock, we need to transfer X amount of widgets from one warehouse to another warehouse where they're actually going to package the widgets.
Okay,
so it's a bulk stock movement.
Yep.
And in the morning, okay, this is what we're working on, this is what we need to do. Everyone knows this is the role that I'm going to play. This is what needs to be done, and this is why. It all needs to be done by this time, because that's when the delivery truck's coming. At the end of the day, assess how you went. Did you do it ahead of time? Did you, you know, exceed expectations? Did you meet them? Did you just scrape through? Did you need to pull other staff off another area of work just to get it across the line? Was somebody not able to complete their component? Now, you need to start with observations of what perceivably happened. What did you see happen? What was reported that happened? And ask questions. I mean, you can't come out saying, you didn't do this, you slacked off, because that's the feedback that you're talking about. I see you didn't meet X target. What happened there? And the feedback might be quite surprising. It may be that they didn't have access to the trolley to move them because somebody else who was also on the team needed to use that as a priority.
Yeah, I think that in also, I mean, a benefit of performance management is the fact that you can build trust with your employees.
Yeah.
It's, you're not going to build trust or get buy-in. One of my favorite sayings or phrases is getting buy-in, but you're not going to get that buy-in from your employees to follow your vision if they don't trust the person that they're working with. And you build that trust by being open, getting feedback, asking questions, and being open is saying, well, this is what I expect of you, but going through that journey with them and identifying ways to lead them there.
Yeah.
And that's all part of performance management.
And I think when you look at what areas people find appealing in their managers, I mean, if you were to ask someone the question of, you know, what's one of your most favorite managers? And then you ask them why, quite frequently the answer that you get is, I always knew where I stood with them.
Yes.
I always knew what I needed to do. They were always there to support me. They'd give me guidance when I needed it, or they helped me when I didn't think I could do something.
Yes.
All of those things fall under performance management. whether formally or informally, however you and your business take it.
I know another favourite one is, well, they wouldn't ask me to do something if they wouldn't do it themselves. And I think that the way to show that is that you understand what they're doing and that you work through the challenges with them. Because everyone likes a manager that has probably stepped in their shoes and knows where they're coming from. So if you haven't worked in the same place for 50 years and you're a manager, one way to help your employees see that you can walk in their shoes is understand their role, and going through a performance management regime and understanding what they do well, what they need help with, and getting them along the way.
Yeah, understanding their challenges and what it actually feels like to do that job day in and day out.
Mm.
It makes a difference. Have you ever seen the show Undercover Boss?
I have. Yes, I have.
Yeah.
For a second there, I didn't know what it was, but yes, I have. Where the boss of an organization puts a wig on and a fake nose and works with one of the entry level people or different parts of the organization within their own business.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know the one.
So one of my favorite elements on that show is not just seeing, you know, will his fake nose really be recognized, but what happens at the end where the person is recognized for the work that they've done, or someone actually says, you know what, that's a real ruddy job.
Real ruddy job. Oh.
I'm glad that you do it with such passion.
Ah, yes.
That is a key and integral part to our business. Not many people would be able to do that job and walk out smiling at the end of the day.
Mm.
That's appreciation.
Mm.
And the feedback is clear, it's specific, it's articulate, and it says, this is what I noticed. I had a conversation with you about it, and this is what you said. And this is the outcome. You do a fantastic job.
You're on 100.9 to BACR. Coming up later in the show, we'll be talking more about performance management, what exactly it is, some of the content that you may want to include in your performance appraisals, and answering any questions you may have. Get in touch with us live in the studio, 02-9793-109. I didn't want to give you my home number then, that would be awkward. Or you can post something on Facebook. Robin's manning the Facebook over there. Personing the Facebook?
I'm personing the Facebook, Business Advisory Community Radio, BACR. Like us on Facebook and join the conversation.
We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Luke Simon, Principal and CEO of Bankstown Community College. Our college is an award-winning adult education and training provider offering general interest and nationally accredited courses to the local community. Bankstown Community College is a registered training organisation accredited by the Australian Skills Quality Authority, and its qualifications are recognised across Australia. Our courses include English language, children's services, literacy, beauty, computer training, cake decorating, yoga, photography, languages, and 50 other courses commencing throughout the year. For course information and starting dates, please visit our website at www.bankstowncc.com.au. Catch up with us on Facebook and Twitter, or simply call us on 9793 8155. That's 9793 8155. Bankstown Community College is proud to be a major sponsor of Bankstown Auburn Community Radio.
Business Advisory Community Radio, none of our business and all of yours, 100.9 to BACR. What are we talking about this evening, Robin?
Performance management, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the not so tedious.
Yes, the lovely art of managing people. It's people call it a science. Those people, I think, are probably wrong, but let's not get into that argument. People management, that's the fun part of management. So only a very small snippet of that is performance management. So we'll be speaking until 8 o'clock about that this evening. Robin, did you know there are other shows on this radio station other than BACR on BACR?
I have heard them. I have had a feeling that they that there were some pretty cool people working on this station.
This station is not just built for us to come in on a Monday from 7 to 8. There is a rather popular program, I must say. It's called Thursdays 9 to Noon. And the Thursday 9 to Noon show is having a makeover and will not be going to air this week. The show will be returning on Thursday the 2nd of May, where Brendan will be joined by Terry Alsnett in a revamped format. Check out 2BACR Facebook page for more info. The 2BACR Facebook page is quite active, and there's quite interesting information that gets posted on that. Not just about the radio station, but about Bankstown itself.
Yeah, there's a new photo stream that has been started within the last week, and lots of useful and interesting information about our community.
Add them as friends, or like them and like us, and you'll be well informed indeed. It's Peter and Robin Birch. We're here until 8 o'clock. We're talking about performance management, but firstly, Robin, my second favourite part of the show, because my first favourite is now Joke of the Week. You know what my second favourite part of the show is? Starts with an S. It's a four-letter word that starts with S.
And ends in tats?
Yes, it starts. That's the theme for stats. Stats of the Week. It's where we pull out the most random stats that we can find that have nothing to do with what we were talking about, but you'll likely find it interesting if you're anything like me. So, firstly, Robin, you know have you been to a conference before, like a management conference?
Yes, I have. Is this a statistic about Mentos?
Well, funnily enough,
uh-huh.
It doesn't have to be branded as Mentos, but you know the individually wrapped lollies that you get?
Yes.
At
most of the conferences that my organisation does, they're Mentos. So
yeah,
I know lots of others.
You can get Cool Mints as well, are wrapped, but you can also get home brand ones, I believe, too. So there was an experiment. And what I think is funny is that this experiment, it starts off reading that there was an experiment with undergraduate women with low opinions of their bodies. And so I was going to skip over it because I thought maybe it wouldn't be relevant or appropriate for air. Turns out it is. So in an experiment with undergraduate women with low opinions of their bodies, ate more than twice as many gumdrops if the candies were presented in small packages. So there was four in a package. So they're actually different to the Mentos. Rather than a loose bowl. So they ate more if they were individually wrapped than if they were just sitting in a bowl. This contradicts the whole theory that, you know, you're able to control your intake if you have individually wrapped foods that often, you know, maybe nutritionists or personal trainers might say, you know, go for the ones that are individually wrapped. Maybe like a psychological thing, you know, you've had one, you've unwrapped it, you've worked a bit harder to get it. So although small packages are sometimes said to have helped people regulate their food intake, the research has found that women with low appearance self-esteem are particularly drawn to such packages by the illusion of control that they offer. That was the findings of this research.
Huh.
What I find interesting is that someone researched that from start to finish, and likely someone would have funded that, but maybe it was just fun and no funding.
Quite possibly.
Mm.
I think it's just a little bit more hygienic.
Yeah, having the individually wrapped thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be more inclined to eat something that was individually wrapped than to stick fingers into a sticky lolly jar.
I wonder if a part of this research that they didn't tell you about is that I wonder if they all went to the bathroom around about the same time and they saw people didn't wash their hands. And that's why they all went for the individually wrapped lollies.
If I'm offered unwrapped or wrapped lollies, I'm always going to take the wrapped stuff.
Yeah, so there you go. So once again, my stats weren't that intriguing. Second one, because I don't just bring one, I bring twice the fun to the stats party.
Whoa.
I don't know how to broach into this one. Usually my segues are pretty poor, but I'm just going to break into it. Being sad makes you more impatient. That's the headline in the news tomorrow.
I'm one of the most impatient people
that I know. Would you say that you're sad, though? I don't see you as a sad person. I, in fact, see you as a generally happy kind of person.
I didn't think of myself as a sad person until I just heard your statistic.
Being impatient makes you sad. No. This is being sad makes you impatient. Okay, so the way that the researchers concluded this, research participants who became sad by watching a video clip and writing a sad experience were more impatient than sad people. Why? All participants were offered amounts of money. So either you can have money now, or you can have $85 in 3 months.
How much money do you get now?
Well, the average sad participant took $37 immediately to forego receiving the $85 in 3 months. Whereas the average neutral participant needed $56 before they took the money. So $37 if you were sad, and $56 if you were meh, neutral.
So what's the net present value on $85 in 3 months?
You know, I thought about that as well. I thought about that. You could take into consideration inflation. You can look at the current market, a number of factors involved. But generally, these sad people... The findings were that sadness appears to make people want rewards as soon as possible, even when such urgency comes at a financial cost.
Do you know what I think happened?
What happened?
There were a bunch of people who'd been at a conference, who'd all gone to the bathroom together, saw certain people hadn't washed their hands, and there was only a bowl of lollies on the table, and they were starving. They were willing to take the money, run, go outside. Somebody had already eaten the individually wrapped lollies. They just wanted a sandwich. No wonder they were sad and impatient.
I don't have any stats about sandwiches. I am going to throw in a bonus stat, though.
Oh, three times the fun.
You get two, you get one free. So it's actually slightly related to what we're talking about in performance management tonight. Why incentive programs can demotivate employees. So a recent incentive system aimed at curbing tardiness, so people rocking up late to work, at a commercial laundry plant ended up decreasing productivity by 1.4%, costing the plant nearly $1,500 a month. You know what the incentive program was?
Mm-mm.
So under the incentive program, employees with a perfect attendance were put in the draw to win a gift card. That was it. So this may have squelched workers' intrinsic motivation to behave well. So, you know, they're focusing on the, I'm just going to rock up to work. That's what I'm focusing on. As long as I get to work, I might win this gift card. And also, apparently, in research, the monetary aspect of the reward may have encouraged employees to game the system. So, you know, if you're working in a place where it's got highly regulated clock-in and clock-out systems,
yep.
You know, you rock up early, clock in, then you go do stuff for a while, then you come back to work.
Oh, some places I know where you do that and, I've heard where they go make breakfast.
Yep. But first you could clock in, you sign in or whatever it is.
Yeah, you sign in, you punch in, you log in.
Yep.
Go make breakfast, yep. Come back and you might be ready to start your day 15, 20 minutes later. Or someone's running late, so they call and say,
"Yeah,
can you log me in?"
Yes, that's the other one. Mm. Well, according to the incentive scheme there, then that person is doing a really good job because they're early and they got in before they need to start and they left after they need to leave. And that's what they were measuring. Not a good measure of good performance.
No.
So I guess when we're talking about performance management, rewards and recognition is a huge topic that I didn't even consider covering too much in this show, but it is dramatically important.
Well, any rewards and recognition that you're going to provide and offer need to be measured correctly.
Mm.
And measurement is something that you need to understand first. Are you measuring the right things? It sounds like they weren't in that statistic.
No.
Measuring performance, you need to define what good performance is.
Yes. Bang on the money.
You're working in a call center and you need people to man phones from a particular time to, you know, 8 till 5, 7 till 4, then, yes, start and finish times...
That's important.
Are very important. If you're working in an office or you're in a shop and you have coverage and you have someone to serve customers and it's not a peak time, then in those instances, you may be able to be a little bit more flexible, depending on your business, when your customers are coming in, how they contact you, and what orders and deliveries you have.
Mm.
Being late for the 6 a.m. beer delivery in a pub, never good.
Well, another one as well that people liked it, because in terms of measures, and I guess it's all linked, you know, what? How do I know whether someone's done a good job? Well, I need to have measures. They need to be numbers. Say, for example, the plenty of real estates around, a real estate agent, often they will be measured on how many calls they've made to potential sales or how many brochures they've mailed out. So if someone that's looking to, hey, get that $1,000 bonus or whatever it is, or to say that they've done a good job, just call anyone. Just mail out a brochure to anyone. The quality of what you're doing is thrown out the window, and all that they're focusing on is getting up to that number so that it can be perceived that they've done a good job.
Mm.
So what's happened there, that the measure of performance is all wrong.
So I'm not overly familiar with real estate. If anyone is listening, either live or otherwise, and manages real estate or is involved, then please get in touch and help us understand what real estate measurements are in performance management.
Mm.
But I would be, I mean, I've been involved with real estates as a customer.
Mm-hmm.
What I would be looking for is conversions.
Yes.
So taking that inquiring customer and how many of those inquiring customers, either walk-ins off the phone, attendees at an open house, people you just happen to be speaking to and discussing your business with, how many of those people do you convert into seeking customers? So someone who will come back as an interested buyer or as a potential seller. Someone who wants to come back and use your organization again.
Those are good measures of performance. And those are things that you can work through with someone in a performance management or a performance appraisal to say, this is what I expect of you. That may mean that they need to maybe make 5 calls. They may need to make 50 calls, depending on who they are and how they work. Ultimately, the goal is, you know, a conversion rate of some kind. Something that adds a bit more value to the organization, and as such, it adds value to that particular person.
I know 2 sales guys, and they are guys, who have very different sales techniques.
Okay.
They're both successful in this respective business. One of them will cold call businesses and set up arrangements, you know, get into a discussion about discussing their needs and how services can suit.
And I was never good at cold calls.
No. And other works on establishing a relationship and then extending the relationship.
Yeah.
So when you look at volume of calls made to a widening network, if that's the only measure of performance, then those 2 successful salesmen, one will meet the target and be classified as successful, and one will fail, even though they may be having the same outcome.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's focusing on that outcome.
Different styles, different strengths.
You don't want everyone to work the same, otherwise, well, that just won't work at all.
not in a sales type role.
No. Well, yeah, no, well, that's true.
Yeah, in a factory machinery type situation, then, you know, perhaps even a mechanic, you want people to approach things differently. Obviously, with security and safety of themselves and of the job in mind. But approaching things differently leads to collaboration, and you can have a healthy, intelligent conversation about what is wrong with this manifold.
BACR on BACR, it's Business Advisory Community Radio, 100.9. FM, we're talking about performance management, Peter and Robin Birch, here until 8 o'clock. Performance management, people working in a business. It's relevant to every organization, big and small, in different levels. People need to do it in a way that suits their organization. The way that suits the big bank isn't going to suit exactly the small $2 shop. But I guess an important point to note is that all performance management systems will have generally the same kind of components. And we've touched on a few components of performance management already, but just to, I guess, recap, if you're looking to build a performance management system within your organization, there are seven things that generally you should have. Let's say that these are the seven components of performance management.
As a business or as a manager?
As a manager,
mm-hmm.
you should have these seven components in your performance management
Toolbox. Yep.
Use the word regime too much. Sounds too political. Okay, so we've talked about developing individual goals. That's number one.
Yes.
That's already a tick on the list. We've got that in there.
Individual meaning individual of your staff, not this is my individual goal.
Oh, they're going to say, or one manager. Goal for that particular person. No. So you've got someone on a shop front, you make goals for them, tailored to their role.
With them.
Sorry, did I say at them or something?
For them.
Oh, no. With them. Thank you. We talked about this one too. Number two, alignment of goals across the organization. That whole alignment with strategy thing. You know, the ensuring that they know what the vision is, their goals. If they achieve their goals, then they'll be achieving your goals, essentially. And hopefully you're achieving the goals of your manager, etc.
And they don't all necessarily need to be the same goal.
No, just because your goal is that you need to ensure that revenue is above $2 million for the year, that means nothing to you, your direct report.
Your sales clerk.
No, so don't make that their problem.
But rather look at what is a good and reasonable goal for them to impact revenue. Which may be financial, or it may just be encouraging foot traffic.
The third component of performance management is it needs to have an element of manager assessment of the performance. So someone needs to, you as the manager need to assess the performance. That could be done in both a qualitative or quantitative measure.
So that could be the huddle at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Hey team, how did we go?
Yes.
If you work in a nightclub or a bar, end of night drinks, it used to be quite common. I haven't worked in a bar for...
Back in my day.
Yeah, back in my day, a staff drink at the end of the night was something that was done. It was how staff could let off steam, talk about the night.
Mm-hmm.
Always gave security a good idea on who were the people to watch who were potentially causing trouble that they hadn't necessarily seen.
Yep.
And, you know, management get feedback on what was selling, who got what in tips,
mm-hmm.
what did they do, that kind of thing.
So I guess an important part of that is the employee self-assessment of the job. So not just managers asking how they think they... Well, managers telling people, this is how I think you went. It's asking an employee how they think they went and to perhaps rate themselves if that fits within your performance management system.
I find that understanding an employee's self-assessment to be one of the most interesting parts of the entire performance management process.
Oh.
Because it's the complexity of the person who is potentially not performing as well as they could or as well as they have in the past. However, they still rate themselves quite highly.
Oh, those ones.
Or the people who are performing far beyond your expectations, who still see themselves as having a long way to go. So I guess it's the psychology behind the self-assessment, where people see that they are in the greater scheme of things, and it can tell you a little bit about how they see themselves in the organization. Are they driving themselves? Are they really pushing themselves? Do they have higher expectations of themselves than even you do?
I think as well, it helps you prepare to give feedback if you ask them to give their own self-assessment on how they think they went.
As long as you don't go soft.
No. I think that we could do a whole show on giving feedback.
Because I think that the key thing with asking somebody first and then giving your version or your observations is write it down first.
Mm. Yeah, don't sway from your original convictions.
Write it down and be prepared to show them.
Mm.
This is what I saw.
That's
because if it doesn't match, it's really, really easy to say, oh, well, I hadn't seen it from that view before.
Yes.
Which is fine. That's why you're having the conversation. However, your observation is still your observation.
Mm. Very good point. I like that one. I'm going to use that one.
You're welcome.
See, I still learn. What am I saying? I always learn. Multi-rater assessments of performance is the next component of a performance management system. So what does that mean? Collecting data from a number of sources.
That one can actually be quite tricky.
Mm. Not always do you have a number of sources to collect data from.
Especially if somebody's new. If somebody's relatively new to the organisation, multi-rater assessments, you may not have access to that many people. But in a number of organisations, especially large ones, it's a part of the assessment criteria.
So it could be relevant if you've got that. Well, it's relevant if you've got that information available to you, then do a cross-section. Use additional sources of data.
Do you know why it's important to get different sources?
I think that it's important to have a comprehensive picture of performance rather than having one single perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Also, perhaps it could eliminate any kind of timing issues. Perhaps their performance is good under certain circumstances.
Yep.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, bias is something that plays a hefty role in performance management. Bias in terms of personal bias. You like somebody significantly. You think they're doing a really good job, so there's no issue. However, if you have just had a bad experience or you have a difference of opinion with a particular person, then you may have a negative bias towards their performance. So getting a multi-rater assessment helps overcome those.
Mm.
And it also does look at things like the halo effect.
The halo effect?
Yeah.
What do you mean by the halo effect?
Well, it's a term that you can use in a number of performance assessment, including recruitment interviews. So, because essentially recruitment is you're managing or assessing somebody's performance based on the information that you have in front of you and the person that you're having the discussion with. So, you know,
A single source of assessment.
Yeah. So the halo effect is where you are shining the torch over them, essentially. So you have somebody's just completed a big project and they nailed the deadline. They got rave reviews. They really hit the money.
Yep.
However, that was in the last 3 months.
Mm.
And your assessment is over the past 12 months, but, you know, there were deadlines that were missed, projects that were dropped, and the halo effect can sometimes be looked at as rationalization. So you will rationalize that haloed person for their poor performance because of their outstanding recent performance. So an example of that could be, yes, they missed that, but they were focused on this and they knew this project was coming.
Mm.
You know, you tend to give a bit of leniency in those sorts of situations, which is a form of bias.
So we need to keep an eye out for them.
Yes.
I guess the last component then of performance management that is critical to include is coaching and development and planning for future career positions. So not everyone wants to be the cashier for the whole time that they're working in an organization, for example. Then again, some people just want to be the cashier the whole time that they're in an organization. So you need to understand what the person's motivations are before you go in and say, look, we've got this awesome career plan for you. In 5 years, I see you being the vice relationship manager for brand. And all they want to do is supplement their university hex fees that they've got going on.
Yeah.
So working out what motivates them, and that's the coaching and development phase.
Yep.
And perhaps the person that just wants to be the cashier on the front counter, it's all about efficiency. They want to do things as easy as possible while they're on the front counter. So consistency, maybe sharing some information with other colleagues to help them do a good job as well, so that makes their life easier on the desk, might be a good coaching tool.
Before we go, Pete, Randy has just written into us to say that was 6, not 7. So if we just look at what we've got here, coaching and development was number 7, competency assessment was number 6, and I think we didn't read it out as a number. However, we did discuss it as part of the assessment and performance.
So we've got the 7 there. Maybe we post them up on Facebook after the show just so people have got the list.
So the 7 was development of individual goals, alignment of goals across the organisation.
Is 2.
Manager assessment of performance.
3.
Employee self-assessment of performance.
4.
Multi-rater assessment of performance.
5.
Competency assessment.
6.
And coaching and development and planning for future career positions.
The big 7. It's Bankstown Auburn Community Radio Business Advisory. Community Radio, Peter and Robin Birch. We're here until 8 o'clock. We'll be right back after a very short break.
If you're an adult who has difficulties with reading, writing or spelling, the Reading Writing Hotline has some very good news. It can actually...
Well, that's a very good announcement, isn't it? The Reading Writing Hotline is not very good at recording, so... They're a sponsor of the Bankstown Auburn Community Radio Show, and we'll leave it at that.
We'll have a look at that advert and fix it up for the next segment.
Bankstown Business Advisory Service. Do you know them, Robin?
I have heard of them, yes.
The BBAS, they refer to themselves as.
Oh.
The good old Domenica is the person there, and many small businesses and medium-sized businesses. SMEs within the Bankstown community would know her. If they don't, they should get in touch. They're hosting an event this week. And usually their events are kind of like the networking events. Well, not usually, but often people go to those networking events.
And they are quite good.
They're good. And they're big compared to other networking events. I've been to other ones outside of our community. These ones are good. Anyway, this isn't a networking event. This is, I would say, for the right kind of people, one better. Because... firstly, it's free. Can I just emphasize that this is free? It's this Wednesday, so you don't have to wait long. You get excited and you go to it. It's called Business Guidance, hosted by the BBAS. And it's free advice tailored for your business. So you sit down for 90 minutes with a business consultant.
Mm-hmm.
This is someone that you usually pay for. You know, people pay for management consultants or business consultants. And whatever it is that you need help with, within your organization, within your business.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. And you don't even need to know what you need help with. Maybe you just want to talk through what you're doing and they can help you identify some things to focus on.
So it's also a way of finding out how to work with a consultant.
Yeah. Well, that's important too, is understanding how to articulate what you're doing and where you're going. So I guess through working through things like business challenges, providing clear action plans and follow-up assistance on your business feasibility, goal setting, that's important, and helping you with brand and marketing strategies as well.
they're pretty powerful tools.
And it's quite a broad range. I think even, if you're in a large business or a small business, understanding those things could really help you. Even if you're not the person that's engaged in making those decisions, understanding your role and your part of the business, that's key.
That is key. So act fast. You're going to have to book it tomorrow, considering that it's Wednesday, and they've only got a certain amount of slots available now. And they're one-on-one appointments for 90 minutes on Wednesday. They've got times set out, and it's free.
So can you book online?
You can book online via email.
Yep.
Or call 9545-5900. So just search for Bankstown Business Advisory Service, BBAS, and you will find it pretty quickly. Just go to the events page, and that's it.
And is free. Is it in the BBAS office?
Yes, in the BBAS office on Rickard Road in Bankstown.
Okay.
Easy as that.
Nice work, Dom.
Yeah. They keep it rolling, and we'll keep an eye out for the next networking event too, either the breakfast events or after five, because they are quite good. Anyway, we talked about performance appraisals, talked about performance management generally for a business, and I thought it would be remiss of us not to touch on giving feedback. Actually, we touched on it here and there, but I think just to summarise the topic of giving feedback.
Summarising is a good and important part of giving feedback.
Wow, we're even heeding some of our own advice there without even knowing it. I think there's a few important points about giving effective feedback. It's not just about the compliment sandwich. I don't particularly like the compliment sandwich.
I'm not a fan.
Do you know what the compliment sandwich is, Robin?
It's a sandwich, yes.
It's not a tasty sandwich, though.
No.
No, it's where you go...
It's bad food sandwiched between nice bread.
it's where you give a compliment and then you give, criticise them and then you give a compliment to finish.
I find it confusing.
Yes.
And misrepresenting my expectations.
If you've got something that they need to work on, you build rapport, you have built rapport, but you need to be clear on what they need to work on.
Yes.
I was not saying you need to be...
Rude.
Rude, yeah. There's a difference. But you don't have to every time follow a compliment sandwich. So I'm not the advocate.
No. I mean, an example of a compliment sandwich is Pete. I heard the radio show tonight and I thought you really did a really, really, really good job.
Thank you. So did I. I thought it was great, actually.
You had lots of engaged listeners. Mm. They were, writing in. They were listening. They saw the guy giving feedback.
With the six and Randy. The seven. Yeah.
Something you need to work on with that is, picking up the right advertisements that don't have errors in them. So overall, great job. You're really getting the listeners involved and engaged. You're presenting.
Oh, good.
Really positive.
Excellent. So overall, doing a good job then.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Do you feel good?
Yeah, I feel great. Forgot about the fact that we should probably listen to our announcements so that they don't skip. That's the area that I need to work on.
But it kind of gets a bit lost.
Mm. Gets lost in the whole
fluffy
bread of a compliment sandwich. I think it's important as well is, because we've only got a few minutes left, but I think my other key point, and I think frequency is critical. Don't just give performance feedback once a year.
No, and I think this is possibly the biggest mistake most managers make.
Yes.
And I like to call it the surprise appraisal.
Yeah, no surprises. An appraisal shouldn't be a surprise.
Even when you've given substantial notice of the appraisal and its due date and when it's going to happen and what's going to happen inside of it, and you've got an agenda and all those lovely things, the surprise appraisal is when the employee has no idea what you're going to say.
Yeah, no. Or they walk in and think, oh, I've done all right.
Yeah.
And bang. poor feedback. So yeah, that's no good. That's bad feedback. I think as well as important is setting the scene when you're giving feedback.
Yep.
Very early in my career, I used to start a meeting and put a box of tissues in front of the person.
Oh, that is setting the scene.
I actually didn't, but I think that's funny. So think about where your tissues are. Don't pull them out before you start giving bad feedback. But make sure you know where they are.
Knowing when to have tissues available, I think, is important. Not only, I mean, you might be giving great feedback,
yeah,
but knowing what's going on with your staff and knowing that for any particular person you need to have them in the cupboard behind you is important.
I think lastly, my hot tip on giving feedback is think about it as problem solving. It's not dictating. It's working through areas of improvement with your staff. So if you're giving the feedback, you need to be able to follow up with questions, help them, you know, come to a way of maybe resolving an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Or a point of to improve on, but always have, you know, some kind of advice or be there to support the person. Don't just lump it on themselves. You know, they need to come to a solution themselves.
Yeah,
sure. They need to own a solution. If you say, "Hey, you need to work on this. How do you think we'll get there?" But commit to supporting them through that. However, you know, how they decide.
Yeah, and schedule regular check-ins.
Mm.
Don't just leave it for another surprise appraisal in 12 months' time. Yeah. To say, so that thing we talked about 12 months ago, how did you go with that? Support them all the way through.
Robin, it's the end of a show.
It's the end of another fabulous Monday night with you, Peter.
Yes, yes, as always. Heading up to the end of financial year for many organisations, likely you'll be looking at performance management. So if you need to refer back to this show, make sure you check it out via the podcast on the Apple Store. Just search for BACR on BACR. And check us out on Facebook. Write questions, leave comments, good, bad. Don't have to put it in a compliment sandwich.
Prefer you don't.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Just
thanks.
Either give us the compliment or give us the sandwich.
I feel like a sandwich right now. Until next week, people. See you all.